Fergal, you're going to talk to us a little bit today about people's unrealistic expectations when it comes to dating. What prompted that?
Well, yes, I mean, it kind of never seems or ceases to amaze me when I'm on the phone all day, every day for the last now nearly 14 years talking to people who are either single, separated, divorced or widowed. But what happens every day, absolutely every day, not an exaggeration, is people will get on the phone and they'll use a sort of an example of one experience they had in their life, and they'll let it entirely tarnish their view on that type of person. If you just to be clearer on that, a person might ring and say, hey, I never want to meet a separated person ever again, you know, because the last separated person that I met, the ex was around all the time, and they absolutely ruined our new relationship, and it's never going to work. So they allow that one episode, that one experience, put them off an entire cohort of society, which can be absolutely detrimental to their overall success, as you can imagine.
Yeah, okay. And you've a few more examples of people who had unrealistic expectations.
So I had a woman there, and she was 61. She is 61. And she's on the phone the other day, yesterday, the day before, and she said, now, there's no way in hell that I'm ever going to meet any man who's retired. And I said, right.
That's an odd one.
It's an odd one. And I said, okay. I said, I understand if someone's calling up, and not ageist in any way, shape or form, but if someone's calling up and they're in their 30s and they might say, I don't want anyone retired. Yeah, fair enough. You're probably not going to scupper your chances too much. But if you're in your 60s and you're entirely ruling out people who are retired, you're probably shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. So I said, why exactly are you saying this and making this such an absolute prerequisite? And she said, well, the last man that I was with just didn't understand or get the fact that I just can't be available at the drop of a hat, because I work from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and I don't intend on stopping anytime soon. I said, okay, that was one isolated incident. I said, but what about approaching it from a different angle and just saying that I'm only really interested in meeting a man who's going to be able to dedicate the a relevant amount of time to a relationship, whether he works or he isn't, you know, or he doesn't work. You know, retired people don't necessarily have to always want to spend time with the person either, but if the two people have that connection, whether they're in full-time employment or part-time or not working at all, is totally irrelevant. But this person now, having that in her head and fixating on the fact that she only wants to meet another person who is also working, is probably going to stop her from ever finding anybody. That's the thing. That's the key.
You seem to come across a lot of people, Fergal, who have kind of strange, what will I call it, criteria that they put in place, like that woman, like no retired people. I mean, nobody would ever get together with anybody if we had to write down, you know, 10 must-haves and 10 definite no-nos. You have to have a degree of flexibility when it comes to matters of the heart.
100%, but also just look at it from a practical point of view. It's never black and white. It's never going to be ideal. They're never going to live on your doorstep. You know, well, they might, but the point is, if it was easy, there'd be no single people in the world in the first place. But we do, and it has to be said, we do have a habit of getting set in our ways, and we do try to suit ourselves a lot of the time. And there's the Mayfainers in all of us, and we at times are a little bit selfish, and that's okay-ish. But if we're not aware enough to know that what we're actually saying or doing, or how we're approaching certain situations, what effect it's having on ourselves. I mean, I spent 20 minutes on the phone to that woman, and there was absolutely no talking to her whatsoever. None. No one is going to ever be able to tell her that actually, if you approach it this way, you're probably not going to get success. But I just had to say, look, I don't feel Intro can actually put ourselves out there and represent you, considering, you know, we'll be the worst in the world. And if we match you with 5 really great guys and you refuse them all, or don't, you know, you don't want to meet them simply because they don't fall into what you think is appropriate. And then I had another person in the earlier on in the week, and she was late 60s. And she said to me, and I thought I had the end of this one, but anyway, she said to me, there's no way I'm ever going to meet a man who's put that poison in his body. And I said, poison? And she was referring to the COVID vaccine. I said, now, here are the facts. About 98% of the people in this age category will have had the vaccine. again, how am I, the owner of Intro, going to stand over this and happily say and successfully say that we're able to provide you with a quality service if you have ruled out pretty much every single person on the island of Ireland?
Yeah, she's narrowing herself down to a very small cohort, I'd imagine.
You know, it's almost next nine impossible to actually find. And the best of all I had was this gentleman who called and said, well, now, he called a month ago or 2 months ago, and he said, are you single or separated, divorced or widowed? And he said, I'm separated. And I said, are you separated legally or what? And he went, well, no, I suppose, but we don't talk. And I said, this is why I ask questions, do you see?
Yeah.
And you don't talk, but where are you living? Are you living apart? Are you living together? What's happening? And he said, no, we're together, yes, but I'm unhappily married. Unhappily married. I said, right. I said, well, this isn't a service for people who are unhappily married. This is a service for people who are 100% available, single, separated, divorced or widowed, and looking for a new partner. But I am looking for a new partner. I said, no, I get that. But I said, obviously, we're not going to be able to work on your behalf, considering you're 100% married. And I said, okay, well, we're not for you. I said, I'm sorry to hear you're unhappy in your marriage, but I said, it has to be something that you resolve or completely get away from and do proper and make a proper sort of go at separating. It can't be half-hearted. So he left anyway, and he called back again then on one of the days this week. And I just have a first name, you know, recorded, and just, you know, a brief little thing, just so I know that I spoke to the person before. For GDPR, you can't be saving other things. And so it was this guy himself, unhappily married. So he called, and I said, are you now completely separated? And he said, well, no, I'm really unhappy. I'm even more unhappy than I ever was. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, well, I expect you to make me happy, because you're a matchmaker. And I said, I can't make you happy. You need to do something yourself and stand up on your own two feet and be a grown man in your 60s and decide to that, you know, to talk to your wife of however many years, that either you're unhappy or you're making it over or you're not. I said, this is not my job. So he said, but if I pay you for a service, I expect you to do what I ask you to do. And if I'm unhappy, it's not fair. And he started getting into details about their relationship. And I said, I don't need to know this. I don't need to know any of this stuff. So what we are is a dating agency for people who are actually available and who are living in the real world, I suppose, but who understand that, you know, how saleable would it be if I call a woman about this guy who's unhappily married? And I said, would you say yes to a woman who is living with her husband? I said, to this guy. He said, well, if she was unhappy in her marriage, I'd happily meet her. I don't know what to say to this anymore.
Yeah, that I see where you're coming from, Fergal, regarding unrealistic expectations. And as you said, if you were a single woman who had joined Intro and you, Fergal, were to match her up with that guy, imagine how fed up she'd be discovering his circumstances. So he's not on your books anyway, I gather.
No, he's not. No,
okay.
I don't think he ever will be.
Okay.
I don't think he'll ever really go to the lengths that he needs to go to actually do things and make it final. There's an awful lot of that around the country, which is very sad. And you do see that people are remaining together because, you know, neighbours or because of the family or because what it might do in terms of inheritance. But they live in really toxic kind of environments, and it's desperately sad. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be flippant about this. And your man, yes, he probably does want to move on, but he needs to understand that you can't just wake up one morning and decide that I want to do this. Oh, sorry, the best was, I forgot the best part.
Yeah.
I said, why are you not doing it this way? Why are you doing it like, you know, the car before horse kind of thing? He said, well, sure, doesn't my wife cook and clean and do all the work around the house? So why would I leave now and then try to meet someone? I obviously want to meet someone first, and then I'll end it with my wife.
Okay, he's hedging his bets, isn't he? He's an interesting individual, it has to be said.
I'm sure you get loads of women writing in there saying they want to meet him.
Well, it depends on whether he is road-fronted or not, I suppose.
Yeah.
Fergal, we'll take a quick break, but we'll be back with you. We've got some questions for you as well about dating matters, and that's all coming up next. Now, in case you've only just tuned in, you're very welcome. We're talking about dating with Fergal Harrington from Intro Matchmaking. Here's a great question for you, Fergal. Listener says, Can two people make a go of it if they don't really have very much in common? Asks a Listow listener.
100%. I would often say that the opposites do attract, and there's a reason why all those cliched expressions exist. A lot of the time people will come in to us and they'll say, look, I like this, I like that, and they ream off this list of criteria and characteristics and traits and qualities and hobbies. And I'm thinking, okay, but it's not a shop window, it's not an exact science, and having a type is actually quite dangerous, because if people continuously go for their type that hasn't been working all along, well, then I don't see how it's going to be successful next time around as well. I had someone then, every day someone says something, but like woman earlier on this week said, well, I play golf every Sunday for 4 or 5 hours, so he has to do the same. I was like, no, he doesn't. Why does he have to do the same? Why can't you go play your golf? He might do something else. He might read the paper or go for a hike on a Sunday. Like, why? You can't get fixated on meeting someone who is your carbon copy. So meeting someone who's completely the opposite, absolutely, you don't always have to have things in common. It's much more fun to enjoy learning from another person. And, you know, getting advice from what they do in their time. And then you learn from them and they from you.
Yeah, and you do, Fergal, come across couples, and he might be terribly gregarious and he loves the pub scene and the crack and staying out late and having pints. And she might be a real homemaker and a non-drinker and somebody who's just likes the quiet life and being at home or whatever. Or the other way around, it could be the woman who's all into socialising and the man who's quiet. And yet somehow these relationships, I mean, on paper they look like they shouldn't work at all, but somehow they complement each other. The yin and yang sort of makes them work.
And yes, and everyone sees that. Everyone kind of knows somebody, or you often see a couple and say, geez, how's that? What's the story there? Or even this height difference, or this age difference, or this whatever difference. Like, there's an awful lot of people that just, they work, and you don't know how they work, but they work. And the people who tend to get to meet those people are people who are open-minded enough to actually heed the advice. And when people come into Intro, they need to be able to let go of the reins and actually say, okay, guys, you're doing this nearly 14 years, you obviously know something, you're not all talk, and there clearly are success stories here, so I will listen to you. It hasn't been working so far, and not to put too much emphasis on, you know, must have the love at first sight, must be married within, must be this and that and the other. Just play it by ear and let us do the worrying about the actual matching of criteria, and then just let it happen and meet for the first date. And if you think there's an ounce of spark, or thinking, oh God, he said this, or he does that all the time, I don't know if I'd like to meet someone who does it, just go for it. Stop questioning yourself, stop doubting yourself, and just test the waters so that you won't, you know, worry about missing out on an opportunity or regret that you didn't follow through further, is my advice.
Very good. Now, you were talking about a spark there. Somebody was on to say, should you go on a second date if you don't feel the spark on the first date?
Yes. I mean, I keep on saying to people, we're not teenagers anymore, and you know, the adrenaline and the blood doesn't pump straight away. It's like there's always something that you need to grow into when you're a grown up, and you need to find out more and more and more things about the person, about the individual, for a lot of the time to actually get to that chemistry stage, to get to that sort of attraction. I mean, a lot of the time we'll hear people saying, "Oh, geez, I didn't read." Fancy them the first time I met them because their hair is this funny, or they were doing this, or they said that, or they ate a little bit strangely with their spoon and their soup. And like, I was like, okay, does it really matter how a person eats soup? Are you gonna say they're not right for you because of the way they actually use the spoon and the cutlery? So yeah, just not being too quick to judge. Meeting for a second time is absolutely vital. A lot of the time, I heard someone recently say to me, oh, your man got out the guitar then after 3 weeks, and I hadn't a clue. I was on a third or fourth date. I hadn't a clue he was even musical at all, because he never talked about it, because he's kind of quiet that way. And then she serenaded me, and I was like, oh my God, there we go, boom.
Yeah, so you got to put in the work. You got to be prepared to put in the work. Now, another person from West Kerry says, after how many dates should you assume that the person is your boyfriend or girlfriend?
You shouldn't assume anything. You should talk to this person and say, I'm happy to make this official. Are you? We've gone out for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times, and we're on the phone every day texting and talking back and forth. So to me, there's no one else that I am interested in meeting right now. Is that Is that your position? Do you feel the same way as I do right now? Have the discussion. The biggest problem in this country is that people just, they sweep it under the rug, say nothing. I'm sure it's grand. We'll see how we get on. Don't see how you get on. Don't assume anything. Say it to the person. I swear to God, the amount of people that remain in kind of relationships throughout their 30s and their 40s, and then they realize, oh, your man doesn't want kids, or your woman doesn't want to get married, or this, oh God, I never knew that. Well, then have the conversation. That's what I keep on saying. Don't bury it. Keep talking. Don't assume anything.
Yeah, put the cards on the table early on. Fergal, we've got to leave it there, unfortunately, but I presume, is the summer a busy time for you? Should people be phoning and arranging dates with you now?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, because it takes us a number of weeks anyway from the time that people join before a date happens. But people are getting organised. A lot of the teachers start ringing now. All year they were busy or whatever. But it doesn't let up. There's always about 100 dates happening every single week. And we have a team of 10 staff now here in the office. It doesn't get quieter at all. So 100% they should contact us on 6777000 or email us through info@intro.ie and we'll get in touch, walk them through how the service works and then book them in for the virtual or in-house appointment. But the virtual is actually just as good, if not better, for people. So don't be worrying if you're in Kerry and you want to join. You don't have to make the trek up to Grafton Street. You can do it there from the comfort of your own home.